talk on a very, very similar topic by Daniel Jafaris, which will be in here at 2 p.m. Just been done. Anyway, right now it's mine.
Because thank you very much for the invitation and the kind of just introduction.
So in my talk, as I have announced, I will review some recent progress in adding flavor to ADS-453. And basically, that talk is based on work done in Munich, so together with Johanna Erzminger, René Meyer, Andy O'Bannon, and Tim Rase. And we uploaded it to the archive in September this year. However, I also have to give credit to some other people. So in March this year, a few groups studied adding codimension zero flavor to that theory here. So basically, the flavor degrees of freedom should also be able to propagate in 2+1 dimensions. So this is basically done by Stefan Hohenegger and Ingo Kirsch, also by a group at the ITMU, so Ishida Lee and Takayanaki, and also by Chayota and Tafaris. And I think that Daniel Tafaris will talk about a similar topic this afternoon. So, yes. So, but of course, the flavors in ADS-453 were studied earlier, so by also the Meson spectra by Morris and Thompson, and there were some other proposals, say, for codimension 1 and codimension 2 cases by this group here. So, what to say? But I will point out what is new now. Okay, so before I start adding flavors to ADS-453, I want just to give you a motivation why it's interesting to look at flavor degrees of freedom. And then I will tell you the really successful story about adding flavors to ADS-5CFT4. And then afterwards, I give you a brief introduction to ADS-4CFT3, how we can derive it, because kind of this derivation from a certain type of B setup we will need to relate in this part here. And I will also briefly comment about the term Simon's meta theory, which we get, or which is dual to this AD4 geometry. And afterwards, I want to add, give you first the general receipt, how to add flavor degrees of freedom to AD4CFT3. And then I will study two examples. So the one which were studied by the three groups in March, so the N=3 codimension zero flavor case, as well as an codimension one case. Because these are two doable examples in the talk, and further at the end I will give you the conclusion and future directions, as well as I will show you other examples which we studied in our paper. So let me start with the motivation. So why should we use ADS-4 or ADS-5CFT4 or ADS-4CFT3, so the ADS-CFT correspondences? And why should we be interested in adding flavor degrees of freedom? So let me answer the question the following way. So we know that many real-world systems are strongly coupled. So for example, the quark-gluon plasma or also certain connect matter systems. And these theories do not only have like adjoint degrees of freedom in their spectrum, but also like fundamental fields. And so we should look at the, at adding flavors to these systems. So what is the quark-gluon plasma? I think you know it, so it's observed at Rick, and we know that it behaves in liquid, so we can apply hydrodynamics. However, we should be interested like in transport coefficient, or at least in the thermodynamics of the hydrodynamics, because we need input for this kind of approximation. So for example, the shear viscosities or pulse viscosities, charge diffusion constant, and conductivities. And so we should also be interested in like the conductivities of flavor degrees, so basically of the quarks in our brick setup. Or say if we want to study condensed matter systems, in particular condensed matter systems which are near quantum critical points, and the nice thing is that the theories around such quantum critical points, which are denoted here by GC, are scale invariant and are often strongly coupled, so we can at least apply ADS-CFT. And so it's interesting to study these theories at that point, but not only at that point, but say at a whole region, so the so-called quantum critical region, which is basically this wedge here. So basically, we can apply ADS-CFT in this wedge here. And so, as I said, these two toy models are strongly coupled, and they are incredibly difficult to study, say, in lattice gauge theories, for example, with physics, because it's at finite density, and also this condensed matter system. So we need another tool, and the tool is precisely ADS4 or ADS-C3+1. Or it is one possible tool set. So as we know, this ADS-C3 already has mapped strongly coupled gauge theories to weakly coupled gravity theories. And we know also that for some strongly coupled systems, these gauge gravity dualities are the only way to calculate some observables, like this famous prediction by Toftenson and Starnitz in 2003. So this ratio eta over s, or the shear viscosity of the entropy density, which is conjectured to be 1 over 4 pi, at least for all gauge theories which have a dual gravity description and which are in the large N and large top coupling limit. So, and we know the most ADS-CFT systems, the CFT is supersymmetric. It's a non-abelian gauge theory, so we have to be careful about this point if we want to apply it for, say, to kind of better systems. And this is the point which I want to address in this talk here. The fields are only present basically in the point representation of the gauge group. So I will address the last point in my talk here. So how we can get rid of that last point. So as I said, so we know flavor fields are important. So the electrons in condensed matter systems are such fields, or say the quarks. And for ADS5 CFT4, we know a procedure which is which were highly successful in the last. So basically by adding kind of probe deprint, and we also know the field theory. So, and for example, let me list many successes of that approach, which were basically also done here by the group of Rob Myers. So these are kind of Meson spectra, thermodynamics, or we know the phase diagram of dual gauge theories, as well as we have an approach to chirosymmetry breaking. We can calculate the hydrodynamics, and also there appeared some condensed matter applications like quantum Hall effect, which were studied by, for example, by a group at the UCLA, or also superfluid. For ADS4 CFT3, basically, it's a little bit different because the CFT, so the dual gauge theory, was discovered only recently by Aharoni, Bergman, Jaffaris, and Maldacena. So basically, the business of adding flavors to that theory is purely developed, and I will aim on this topic. So basically, the goal is to give you a general receipt for adding supersymmetric flavors to this new kind of correspondence, so to the ADS4 CFT3, in the gravity description as well as in the field theory description. So to say, the goal is to give you basically the Lagrangian. So let me review how we add flavors to this ADS5 CFT4 case. So ADS5 CFT4 can be thought of as a kind of open closed string duality. So the conjecture is that n is equal to 4 CBN-Mills theory with an FUNC gauge group in 4 dimensions equal to type 2 superstring theory, often type 2 5.5 state. And so we know this can be derived by a kind of duality of closed string, which gives rise to this, at least in the new horizon limit, to this ADS4 times S5 geometry, and to open strings, which gives rise in a certain limit to this field theory here. And if we really want to study that theory, we have to take certain limits because it's incredibly difficult to quantize string theory on the space time here. So what we take is we take here well-known limit, so this was invented by Toft. So this was the Toft limit. So we take the large NC limit, as well as take the so-called Toft coupling, which is given by this product here, to be very, very large. And then this thing we can apply here. So we can use here not type 2D string theory, but type 2D supergravity. So. And as you know, as I take sources in west of that operator here, and I want to study these, I just have to look at certain boundary asymptotics, and I can also calculate the position. So basically, this is ADS5 CFT4. And now, how to add now to this ADS5 or CFT4, this dual gauge theory flavor. So the idea is we have now n CT3 brains, which give rise to that n is equal to 4 CBN-Mills theory. And now add another DP brain there. And basically, the fundamental strings between the CP and the CT3 brains should be then interpreted as the quark or a flavor degrees of freedom. So not only as quark, but only as quarks if you look at supersymmetric flavors. And here I have listed you basically the possible DP brain stacks which we can have. So there should be 1/2 DP intersection. And for example, if we align the NCD3 brains along 0, 1, 2, and 3, we can, for example, embed NFD7 brains in the following way, that we wrap all of the T0 directions, so basically 0, 1, 2, 3 are the T0 directions, as well as 4 out of the 6 extra dimensions. So basically, this T7 brain at least wraps asymptotically the ADS5 spacetime, as well as an S3. And this theory, so it gives rise to codimension 0 flavors, so the flavors can propagate in all 4 directions, is well known and well studied. However, there are a few other possibilities which one can look at. For example, this NCD3 brains and NFD7 brains. And so I will later have a few comments about the system here. This is, in my opinion, quite interesting, and it was studied by Harvey and Royston. So it's in 1+1 dimensional intersection, so the flavors can only propagate in 1+1 dimensional. And furthermore, if you compare it to the NCD3 brain, then it's an 8NT intersection, so we have chiral flavor. And what is more interesting, the flavor degrees of freedom are just fermions. However, the intersection is subsymmetric. So you can say, okay, this is not really important, or this is not really new, because we are in 1+1 dimensions, and I have a technique for bosonization, so don't have to distinguish between fermions and bosons. But you can also think of it like these flavor degrees of freedom, so the flavor, so call it psi, are, for example, right-handed. And then your preserved supersymmetry of that intersection here, so the preserved supercharges are just left-handed, so the fermions do not really transform on it. Okay, but as I say, there are another few interesting examples, for example, the D3D5, which were also studied here by groups, so by Rob Myers and Matthias Wappler, and also Matthias Wappler also wrote a nice paper a few months ago about such intersections. But there are also some curious intersections like these NCD2 brains and NFD5 brains, which are just so basically it's a 0+1 dimensional, so the flavors can propagate in 0+1 dimensional as well as this one here. So this one here was also studied by a group here. They described this as lacking liquids in 1+1 dimensional. So first of all, for all these configurations, we know the field theory start explicitly, and I have to say, I haven't listed every possibility, so probably you think that I forgot with one brain, but okay, it's not so important for flavor degrees. And as when I prepared the talk, I was a little bit frustrated because I thought everybody now try to do like this toy model business. So and is not interested in adding proprains to this ADS. DFT correspondence, but this is not true. There appeared a lot of nice papers in the last 6 months, which developed new ideas, which can be implemented in this adding probe brains to ADS DFT correspondence business. So, I think this is enough motivation why we should look at it. So, because of a lot of new papers and because of a new ADS 4C3 correspondence. Wow.
So, okay, there was one paper by Karp, Kovacsky, Parnachev, which, so they studied basically,
kind of non-Fermi behavior in this D3 or in DPDQ systems. Furthermore, there's a nice paper by Karp, Kachu, and Yaida. So they studied precisely this NCD3 brain and this NFD5 brain here. They think it's in dual to a kind of a dimer system, which we can also see in condensed matter stuff. Okay, there is this nice paper by Hung and Sina, so two people from here. So they studied this NCD3 brains and NFD3 brains, as well as the well-known example here, to get a latching liquid behavior, for example. There's this nice paper by the UCLA, by Pierre Krauss, and also by some Finnish guys. So they study like so AC conductivities in this adding flavor business. And Okay, I also mentioned that paper by Matthias Wappler, as well as there were some nice paper about by Takayanagi about describing the quantum Hall effect, so in fractional quantum Hall effect. And so there were much progress made in this direction. And it's worth to study. It's more constrained than the toy models that we do. And except that probe brain business, so where you do not sort your ADS or your geometry as well as your RR fields and the dilaton, it's a kind of first approach to string theory embedding. So.
I will come to that. This is basically also an example for ADS4CP3. So this is embedding in ADS4CP3.
Mm. But from the point of brains, which one is it?
No, this is not this here.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, sorry for that. So this is basically this paper here, I guess. So Nikita Lee and Takayanagi, they studied D2 and D8 brains in this type 2A configuration of ADG. Which also, I don't show that because I will derive the
feature for that. So, so basically, let me go back to what I call probe limit. So what we do is we, for example, for this D3-D7 setup, we align NT-D3 brands along 0, 1, 2, 3 and NS-D7 brands along 0 to 7, sorry for that. So we have basically two different kinds of strings. So if I denote this NT-D3 brands by this black line here, so this is basically 0, 1, 2, 3 direction here, and basically the NFT7 brains by this plane here, then you have got three different kind of strings, so basically the 3-3 strings, so that's a super young move degree of freedom, so basically you are our N=4 vector multiplet, as well as kind of hyper multiplets now, which are given by 3-7 strings, so this is our basically fundamental degrees of freedom which we wanted to add. However, there are more, so there are also 7-7 strings, and which I haven't pictured here. But if you are really careful with this kind of Maldacena limit, so where you now replace your geometry where you take this upper prime goes to zero limit in a certain way, then you see that this 7-7 strings, so they are non-dynamic. So they are not important. And now let me just replace this NT-D3 brand by the geometry. So they generate an ADS5 times S5 spacetime. And then what we get is the 3-3 strings are translated back closed strings, this is well known, and the 3-7 strings are obviously not gauge invariant, and we only can here we only can describe gauge invariant things, so we have to build like gauge invariant bilinears or bilinears. So basically here I denoted the basically mesons, so mesons are just quark antiquark or whatever, so these are the 7-7 strings here. And what I did here in this picture basically, I said that our D7 brain does not sort the geometry. So I ignored basically the back reaction of the D7 brain, say, to the geometry, to the RR field, and to the dilaton. So the D7 brain is a kind of probe D7 brain, just wrapped asymptotically ADS5.3 inside of ADS5.3.
Okay, this is basically what I wanted to explain, this transference. So this is a good question, why can we ignore it? So on the gauge theory side, we knew also a kind of similar approximation, and precisely this is one-to-one correspondence. So we can ignore some quantum loop effects for flavor degrees. So basically what we do is the so-called quenched approximation. If you want to calculate something, then we ignore like spore and quark groups. And if you are careful, then this precisely corresponds to this here, so to say. So what is nice, if we ignore that back reaction, then your beta function is, first of all, if you do not ignore your back reaction or if you're a gauge theory calculation, then you see your beta function is positive, and so it's of order ns divided by s. So if you take a certain limit, so n f fixed, not too large, and n goes to infinity, then we see that this coefficient basically is zero. So this is good because, first of all, you can describe now a quantum critical point, for example, quantum expert, because there you need scaling variance, your beta function should not run and so on. But as you said, so there is a subtle point behind, because you see, the beta function is positive. So you have, normally, if you do not ignore the bad reaction, a new V lambda, which is quite bad. But you can also see this UV lambda cone gravity side. So we could basically this is your running laboratory. So what I wanted to say is in one-to-one correspondence, really. And if we really take here the quench approximation, then we can ignore the back reaction. And I will stick now to this quench approximation. And after that, so after you've done certain calculations, you have to go back and think if you really can ignore the back reaction or not. And if you cannot really ignore the back reaction, then you have to take it into account. And there were some nice papers, one by the group by Joel Kirsch and Lama, so they did it first. And that's also by one who's now here at the Parameter Institute, by Javier Tario and his group. I'm not sure who was involved now, but they also computed some back reaction. So but now let me stick to the problem. Okay. So, and
this transparency, so we can also skip it. So basically, I wanted to convince you that we really know the Lagrangian, we really knew the field content. So basically, we have an ns equal to 4 vector multiplet, which can be split in ns equal to 2 hyper multiplet and ns equal to 2 vector multiplet. And we add to it an ns equal to 2 hyper multiplet, so which gives rise to the fundamental degrees of freedom, so to the quark. And basically, if you want to write down the Lagrangian, we have to write down, so this is basically the n is equal to 4 Lagrangian, as well as this part here, where the superpotential is given by this trace of epsilon I take k phi I phi take k. However, if we add kind of flavor degrees of freedom, we get additional kinetic terms, as well as a contribution to our superpotential of that form here. So this is well known and it's well established. Now I want to do the same for ADS4 CFT3. So let me derive this ADS4 CFT3 business. So first I state the dictionary, as for the ADS5 CFT4. Then I derive it by using an type 2D setup. So this was presented by ABJM. So this is just a review of ABJM. And later I will give you the dual field series. So instead of considering NCD3 brains, we now have to consider NCM2 brains in M theory. So let me align the NCM2 brains along 0, 1, and 2. And so the 3 to 10 coordinates are transversal to it. And so we can describe this NCM2 brains now on an C4, which is isomorphic to R8. This space here. However, we can also take an orbifold of that space. So basically, C4 mod CK. And if we consider these NC and 2 brains on this space, then we see that we have two different low energy descriptions for NC going to infinity and NC much, much larger than K. This basically is developed by ABJM, Haroni Bergman, Jafaris, and Malgosina. So on the gravity side, if we take a certain limit, so we say not NC is much, much larger than K, but NC much, much larger than K to the fifth, then we know we can apply type 2 11-dimensional supergravity, on asymptotically ADS4 times S7 mod CK space time. And the gauge theory side, and I will really derive that why this is the case, is a UNC K times UNC minus K turn Simons matter theory. And this K here just gives you the turn Simons level, basically. So this is your gauge group. And this is your transimus level. And you see, so both levels are opposite. So one is negative and one is positive. So we know that this n is equal to 6 supersymmetric for general K. It is also conformal, invariant under parity, as well as it has an SU4, which is isomorphic to SO6, R symmetry for general K. Okay. So first of all, if you look now at large K, so if you look at the limit NC much, much larger than K to the fifth, but this limit should also hold here, then you can basically, you have one direction, which is in circles, so basically the overall space, which shrinks to, so the circle shrinks to zero size, and then you can reduce it on 10 dimensions, such as supergravity, and often particularly it is 4 times 2 to 3. So, let's say. And, Okay, this is the first thing. Furthermore, I can also study this AVGM conjecture for case equal to 1 and 2, and there something interesting happens, which also kind of would be guessed from this embedding of NCM2 brains. So basically, you get back your NSP2-8 supersymmetry, so basically so for case equal to 1 and 2, and furthermore, your R symmetry is also SOA. So for case equal to 1, this is clear, because then your low energy description is in ADS 4 times 7, and then you need, so the symmetry group is just SOA. Okay, so let me try to derive that result, the gauge theory result, as well as the service result. So first, this is the so-called type 2B brain configuration or brain picture of AVGM. So this is nothing new. So first, take NV3 brains, which are aligned along 0, 1, 2, and the 6th direction. And if you just look at this NV3 brains, then what you get is an N is equal to 4, 3 plus 1 dimensional U and C gauge theory. However, what we do now is first we compactify the 6th direction in circle. So we add another stack of NV3 brains, as well as we add two NS5 brains, so this NS5 brain here, and this NS5 brain here, which are aligned along 0, 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5. So, and if you do that, you see that the NV3 brains can break now, basically on the NS5 brains. So basically, you get two different gauge groups. So U and you get a product, so U and C times C and C, gauge theory. And you also get fundamental degrees, bifundamental speeds. So these are precisely massive strings between the two sets here and here. So, and your vector multiplet, which is now n is equal to 4 and c plus 1 dimensions, a mu in 0, 1, 2, 6, and 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. However, when we reduce it now, so I have ignored the effect of the NS5 strings for this now, except that that the NS3 strings can break on it. So if you dimension reduce along the 6th direction, then you see that a vector multiplet fits into an n is equal to 4, 2 plus 1 dimensional vector multiplet. So basically it's along 0, 1, 2. So the gauges are a mu. So mu can take the value 0, 1, 2. So you should use that here. And we have also scalars in 3, 4, and 5. So basically these three scalars here. Okay. And we have got also a hyper multiplet, which consists of this A6 component here, as well as of the scalar 7, 8, 9. And if you look now at this NS5 brains and NV3 brains, and if you remember the work by Hanani and Witten, then you know that this hypermultiplet is slightly choked. So you're left with an N is equal to 4, 2 plus 1 dimensional vector multiplet, and this gauge super scalar. Okay, so what I've done now, I've just dimensionally reduced it along a certain direction, so I'm 2 plus 1 dimensions now. But how to generate a John Simons term? And this was answered long ago, how to do that. So this was basically a work by Bergman, Hanani, Karf, and Cole in 99. So what they proposed is to add another D5 brains, or KD5 brains, which should be aligned along 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 9 levels. So basically, we have these two NS5 brains from the last transparency, the two NG3 brain stacks, as well as now KD5 brains in this direction here. And what we do from from the perspective is we add new flavor degrees of freedom, which corresponds to the 3-5 strings, basically to the strings which begin on the D3 brain and end on the D5 brain. And so first, secondly, we break the symmetry down to n is equal to 2. And our aim now is to get this John Simons theorem. So our idea is now to give a mass to the flavor degrees, the flavor fields, and integrate them out. And after integrating them out, you generate, via the so-called parity anomaly, you generate the John Simons terms. So first give them a mass and then integrate it out. How can we do that? And from a string theory point of view, this is really simple. So we know that on D5 brains, basically fundamental strings can end. And on the NS5, of course not. So what we can do is now we can look at this at the KD5 branch, I'm at this NS5 branch here, and can now build a bound state. And this bound state is in 1K. So what we do is we bind this KD5 branch and this NS5 branch, forming a so-called 1K5 branch bound state. So basically take this KD5 branch in this direction and NS5 branch in this direction. Then you get this 1K5 branch in the middle. And if you take the limit, so if you stretch it more and more, then basically you get out of that branch configuration just a 1K5 branch. However, on a 1K5 branch, the fundamental strings cannot end. So basically what we did is we integrated out the fundamental strings, because if you replace this by this, then they cannot end on this 1K5 branch. And if you really do that, and I also rotated this KD5 branch, which I aligned along this direction here, G4 and 9 direction. I rotate now it in the 3-7 plane, in the 4-8 plane, and the 5-9 plane in such a way that the angle is the same. So what you get is, first you get this proposed Chern-Simons term. So you are left with an n is equal to 3 UNC times UNC Young-Mills series and Chern-Simons term, and as well as four massless pi fundamental matter fields. These are precisely the pi fundamentals between the NG3 brains, so the two stacks of NG3 brains. And you see that your supersymmetry is now n is equal to 3. So if we embed it here in a different way, say just in 3 and 4 direction, as well as an angle in 5-9 direction, then this is only n is equal to 2. So I just rotated them in this plane to get n is equal to 2. Yeah. Oh, so this is the work plan. So this is basically the type 2B picture. Take an NS5 frame, 1K5 frame, and two stacks of NG3 frames, which translate on this. So what we do now is we take that type 2B picture, and here's a six circle, which is small. So we can titalize in the x6 direction. So we get NG2 frames now along here 1, 2. The NS5 frame on that side here is now lifted to an K monopole, and this 1K5 frame will be lifted to an K monopole, but now with the fixed flux on it. Basically, this is the configuration that you have. This is the, say, the left NS5 frame. This is the right 1K bound state when you titalize it. And then what we do is we lift it to M, or what ABGM did, they lift it to M theory. So basically, they invented a new direction, so a small circle, 10. And the KK monopole is lifted to a KK monopole, and the KK monopole plus D6 flux is also lifted to a KK monopole. And of course, the MD2 branch are lifted to M2 branch. And you see that these two KK monopoles now just generate basically your geometry in the transverse space. So, and this geometry indicated with XA. So just the geometry of the transverse space. I denoted it in such a way, probably this notch really good stuff. But your speed, you're still in n is equal to 3 super Young-Mills series plus times plus matter. So, but what you can do now, you observe that the X8, so this basically the intersection of two top net spaces or two KK monopoles here, so it has a singularity. And the near singularity space time looks locally as in C4 mod CK. And what you do now, you take a near horizon limit. In the geometry, this discard all terms except the singularity. So you zoom in, basically. On the field theory side, you take a certain low energy limit. So you write down the effective action at scales below Young-Mills squared times K. So what you have to do is you have to discard your Young-Mills terms. So I said before we had a Chern-Simons plus Young-Mills theory. Now we have just a Chern-Simons theory plus, okay, by fundamental matter, of course, which now enhances to n is equal to 6 supersymmetry. So basically, this is the ABGM type 2B setup. And so let me discuss the field theory then. So we have two n is equal to 2 vector super fields by I. One for each gate group, of course, two n is equal to 2 chiral super fields, as well as five fundamental matter, A1, A2, B1, and B2, which transform in such a way. And so basically, your ABJM Lagrangian is just the Chern-Simons theory plus five fundamental matter plus the potential term, turn time is just given by k, so this is the turn time level times in turn time action for the first gauge group. The second gauge group had a negative turn time level, so it's minus k times the action of the second gauge group. And so the bifundamental method, just you have to just to add up kinetic terms to the symmetric ring, and you get this superpotential term. So this potential term is the superpotential, so it looks in this way. So first, what you observe, if you look really carefully at this transonic terms, so they look in the super symmetry in such a way. So you just see now the n is equal to 2 vector multiplied v in it, but not the n is equal to 2 chiral superfield. And precisely, if you zoom into your singularity, what happens is you have to integrate out this chiral superfield phi I, so what you say, because they don't appear here. They just appear in the superpotential term, so they are non-dynamical. And if you do that, what happens, your superpotential is replaced by this easy superpotential here. After I integrated out phi 1 and also phi 2, so these are the two chiral superfields associated with the two different gauge groups. And this theory is, indeed, you can check, it's n is equal to 6 supersymmetric for general case. So this is basically the dual gauge theory for an ADS4 space. Now, let me come to the general sweep, how to determine the field theory and gravity theory if we add flavor degrees, and show you two examples. Okay. So what we did, so we started around Christmas, and what we did is we just say, take the type 2D brain setup from the beginning and just add flavor brains in the usual way. So basically, we looked at all different supersymmetric flavor brains in this type 2B setup. So where you have an NS5 brain and a 1K5 brain and also two stacks of three brains. And we got the following answer. So this is basically in type 2B all possible D brains which you can add. Okay, probably there are more, but we looked only at those which are aligned along the coordinate axis. And we checked for a few that if you rotate them in planes, that the supersymmetry is not enhanced. So I have to say, this is a partial list. There could be more, but we are not too sure about that. And this is for the future. Okay, so and now I want to look only at three examples. But in our paper, so we understood every example except one. So let me look at this D5 brain, which is aligned along 0, 1, 2, and 7, 8, 9. And if you look at just at the type 2B picture, then it preserves 6 supersymmetries if you add an D5 brain, and 0 if you add an anti-D5 brain. So what we do if you do now the G duality along the 6 directions, because there is no, but does not wrap the 6 directions, you get into 6 brain, and so then it lifts to KK. And precisely, this is the configuration which Schaferis, Gaiotto, and all the other groups do. Okay, furthermore, I also want to look at this configuration, but I only have a few comments after it, so at the end. So what you realize is if you take this M theory approach, the lifted to M theory, then you will realize that the dual gauge theory is precisely the same as this one here. Even so, your type 2B configurations are different, and so also your fields in type 2B are different, but they flow to the same infrared fixed point strategy. So we call this kind of SU4 equivalent, but I will comment on this later. And then
in type 2B, but so what you saw, for example, for this ADGM, in type 2B there.
Well, it's enhanced when you go to the.
Yeah. Okay, first. So this can happen. We really worked it out for that example, that it flows to that one. And so what you also can take, you can take an N7 brain. And this is basically
that one which you can just let me see a fracture from the Hall effect. So this lifts from the D8 brain in type 2A, or so we called it an M9 brain, but we know that it's difficult to have a massive uplift M theory. So this is just kind of a symbol, and we don't know what happens here. So, but if you now do the uplift, the D8 brain can correspond to something. What, for example, the group of I think Birkhoff et al. Called an N9 brain. And this T7 brain is aligned in say, along 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. And you see these are energy distribution. And I will show you the two of these three of these two here. So consider the first one, so the T5 brain, and 0, 1, 2, 7, 8, 9. And I thought, already mentioned it, so this was done also by Honegger and Kirsch, by Tagianakis group, and also by Gallardo and Chaffaris. So let me start really simple. So look at just NCD3 brains and NFT5 brains. So, and the NCD3 brains should be in 0, 1, 2, and 6 direction, as we need for the type 2B setup. And the NFT5 brains should be in 0, 1, 2, as well as in 7, 8. And this feature is really well known. So if you look at it, it's 2 plus 1 dimensional. It preserves energy for supersymmetry. And if we just write down now basically the action for the flavor degrees of freedom, so where flavor degrees of freedom appear, it's just basically the kinetic part for Q and Q tilde. So this is basically this kinetic part here, as well as a contribution to the superpotential of that sum. So it's a Q tilde phi Q. And what you see, so V and phi, so they are just n is equal to 2 vector multiplets now, they fill this n is equal to 4 vector multiplets. So what you see first, this flavor action does not couple to the n is equal to 4 hypermultiplets, only to the vector multiplets. And this is important because if we look at this type 2B brain setup of ABGM, we know that the hypermultiplet is projected out by the NS5 brain. So what we do now is add NS5 brains, and probably I should here add 2 NS5 brains, this is a mistake. So take that brain setup which we discussed in the last transparency, and just add now this NS5 brains in 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So to do all the steps of ABGM, what we do have first, we have dimension reduce on effect. And if you do this carefully, you realize that the flavor action doesn't really change. And then you have also to take into account your NS5 brains. So what the NS5 brains do, they set this 2 plus 1 dimensional n is equal to 4 hypermultiplet to 0. But as I said before, there is no coupling to the n is equal to 4 hypermultiplet. So just the flavor action is not changed. Okay. Okay, you have to be a little bit more careful. So if you compactify the exact direction, so basically, probably I should control here. So what we have now is we have here an NS5 brain. We have here our N, so the two stacks of NCD3 brains. So this is NCD3 brains, and this is our NCD3 brains. As well as we have here an NS5 brain. And because we compactified and we added another stack of NG3 brains, so basically these are our flavor brains now. We also have to add to the other stack, which we added by compactifying on the 6th order, we have also to add basically our flavor brains, just to get parity. But okay, this is a choice. Add NFT-based brains intersecting each stack of NG3 brains. And what you do is now we just number the fields by k, so k runs from 1 to 2, and then you get this action. Okay. Good. So this is not surprising and easy to do. So what we do now is we take this one k5 frame bound set, basically we take here also kd5 frames, and replace this ns5 frame by the kd5 frame, and then you see, first of all, your supersymmetry, which was before n is equal to 4, is now broken to n is equal to 3. This is now the 1k5 frame bound set. But the flavor action is unchanged. Then what you do is you follow all the steps of ABGM. So you serialize along the effects. So this is basically a type 2B configuration. You have to replace your NFT5 frames by NFT6 frames. And you list it to M series, so you have to replace the NFT6 frames by KK monopole associated with the M series. But in all steps, your flavor action is unchanged, if you're really careful. So So what you do now is, in the last step, you take this low energy limit. So as I said, you have to zoom in into the singularity of your X8 space. And then what you get is, for if NT is much, much larger than K to the size, then you get an KK monopole wrapping a free cycle on S7 mod K. And for NT much, much larger, much, much smaller than K to the fifth, you're just in the type 2A configuration. So basically, you have just get T6 brains wrapping ADS 4 times R2C, which is inside of CPC.
For wrapping a three cycle?
What you can do is you can also backreact it. So there was a paper, I don't remember the authors, but it's called Eschenburg space. So basically what you get is some kind of Eschenburg space. If you basically what you have is you have now three KK monopoles, which you have to superpose, basically. Just work out the geometry. This is an easy textbook exercise. But then you have also a little bit to worry if the transverse space is geodesically complete and so on. But if you work that out, I think this was done, and look in archive, it's called Eschenburg space and whatever. So this is precisely the mathematical structure of this transverse space. It's called the calculator. So, and your theory preserves now 12 supercharges. So it's
n is the 3 in 2 plus 1 dimension, as well as a U1 baryon symmetry. And so I said before we have an SO6 R symmetry of our ADGM theory. And this is now broken down to an SO4 symmetry, which consists of an SU2 R symmetry. And this you expect because SU2 R is isomorphic to SO3. And basically in 2 plus 1 dimension, we have SO R symmetry group. Good. And you have an additional SU2D group. So precisely, this is a global symmetry of your gauge theory. And you can really work it out what this group is. Basically, D stands for diagonal. Beforehand, you had two SU2 groups. So one refers to the A field. So we had two bifundamental fields, A1, A2, and B1, B2. And basically, you have two SU2, so SU2A, which just acts on the A's, A1 and A2. And SU2B, which just acts on the B's. And this SU2D is just the diagonal group of that group. And what you have to, so this is precisely the gravity side. On the field theory side, what you have to do is you have to determine the effective theory, which is valid on scales much, much smaller than G young mu squared times K. So in principle, what you have to do is look at effective theories. You have to write down all terms which are consistent now with your type 2B symmetry. So your symmetries of your type 2B frame configuration. So this is 2 plus 1 dimensional. It should have n equal to 3 supersymmetry as well as SO3 R symmetry. And you can write down every term you want to have, but you will realize that there are no such terms. So your flavor action is unchanged. And what you do in your last step, you integrate out by 1 and 30. This is just basically the overall phase. So you have this bifundamental fields, A1, A2, B1, and B2, and you can multiply this by phase.
In geometry, what do you do? You just
the
gravity side. What do you do in geometry?
On the geometry side.
You said it's gravity. How does it act on your coordinates or whatever?
It's an isometry in your space if you embed the December. It's just along the 10 dimensions.
Yeah.
Yes. But now I'm a little confused. I come back to that. Pay attention afterwards. Sorry. Okay. So and now we have to integrate out phi 1 and
phi 2. So what we have to take, we have to take the action as is. Just the flavor action plus the ADGM action. The ADGM action consists of transaminants, bifundamental, and potential term. So the transaminants and bifundamental are unchanged. However, we have potential term, which looks a little bit different. So we have this new this super potential, which, if you integrate out phi 1 and phi 2, looks now in the same way here. Remember, beforehand, phi 1 and phi 2 were just non dynamical fields. They had just, now it's super potential, there was like terms in a trace of by 1 squared plus by 2 squared. And now by adding this, basically this NFT5 range, we have also a term like Q tilde five here, so for each five. And if you integrate out now the five, then what you get is with additional contributions of Q tilde Q. That's the other way around. Okay. And the flavor action is just the kinetic term for the fundamental degrees of freedom. And as I said, if you look at the C series, it has only 12 supersymmetry charges, so it's also any single string, single fundamental. It has an U1 baryon symmetry as well as an S2 S2, so which is just also 4. And the symmetry is on the gravity and C3 side image. So they're basically the same symmetry. Okay, so this is the codimension 0 case. And let me go now to the codimension 1 case because I think it's interesting for condensed matter applications. So what I do now is I had this table beforehand. So I look now at the other codimension 1 case which I wanted to study. So these are the 7 brains in tier 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9 direction. And there were some condensed matter applications people here. So what you have to look at now, you have to look at NCG3 brains plus NSG7 brains, but it's not the usual D3D7 setup, but it's an 8ND setup. So you align your NCG3 brains along 0, 1, 2, and the 6th direction, and the NSG7 brains along 0, 1, and 2, 4, 5, and 7, 8, 9. And if you now look at the corresponding peak theory, then you see that it has 8 supercharges. So and the flavor fields are confined to a 1 plus 1 dimension in the two-tech. That's the two-tech. So it's supersymmetric. However, if you now study just the spectrum of the 3-7 string, this was done by Harvey and Royston last year, so then you realize that you just have a single 1 plus 1 dimensional wild fermion, psi. And as I said, I just answered the question in the beginning. So how can it be that we have fermions, but it's supersymmetric, or we have just fermions, but it's supersymmetric? So the answer is the fermions are just left-handed, and the preserved supercharges are just right-handed, so it's in precisely an anything to the 0-8 symmetry. So 0 charges means we have no preserved left-handed supercharges, and we have 8 preserved right-handed supercharges. And we can also work out the action, so which now just involves basically fermions, so it's psi bar E, T minus minus I minus psi.
Under supersymmetry, it doesn't transform. You can actually see that. Basically, because your A minus is just again a pronoun and light cone, and which does not transform under the light. So A plus would transform under the A minus. So I can't write down a term like E plus minus I. Okay, so what you do now is you take that
D3D7HND setup and add now also, sorry for that, 2 NS5 frames. Also, so basically this D5 frame here. So this is the picture, but now the D7s are a little bit different. And then in this direction here. So, and what you do is you do the same, basically the same receipt. So basically what you see now is the same transparency system before, but with kind of different comments on it. So first of all, you dimension reduce along its sex, so nothing will happen, which was also the case beforehand. And then you set this hypermultiplet to 0. But it, so let me go back one slide. So here you see that only the vector field appears. And so, yeah, so the size and psi vector only coupled to the vector field. But this is not always the case that the flavors just couple to the vector field. If they couple to the side to the hypers, then you have to kill basically that terms in the network. Okay, but because there are no couplings, so the flavor is unchanged. But however, by adding this NS5 friend, so the supersymmetry is thrown now down to NS0.4. So, and also comment like here, we have now 2, the compactify on XX, so we have basically 2 gauge group or product gauge group, so we also should add NFD7 brains for each stack of the D3 brains. And so we have often Vector K here running from 1 to 2. I'm still working the problem here. Never left the problem, except the one comment about back reacting this KK monopole. I'm always working the problem.
Why? So.
Because I thought the back reactor geometry for this is known. And this is worked by Jama.
Yeah, for this is 3D7, but later I will now add this NS5 friends, and I'm not sure if that is really enough. We will later see if it's a D8 brain in type 2A or in this fuzzy, so this M9 brain, whatever it is, so in M theory. So. It would be nice to know, so at least in M theory. And we know what massive M theory is.
I'm wondering, if you have to do anything about the Cairo anomaly due to the presence of this fermion.
Sorry, I didn't get
that. The Cairo anomaly,
yeah,
due to the presence of this fermion, it has to be cancelled. And I wonder if you have taken into the cancellation of Cairo anomaly here.
No, this is not taken into account. We are just in the problem as well.
But without anomaly cancellation, the cancellation of the Cairo anomaly always requires that, in some sense, you have back react the geometry.
Okay, so I think in this really sentence setup, so like Harvin Royston is worked out, and when I add this kind of flavor degrees of freedom, so this NS5 friends and also this bounce set, I think nothing happens. But
what I mean is, if you don't take into account anomaly cancellation, how would your theory be consistent?
Good question. So,
is the anomaly term proportional to NF of the NC?
Yeah, it's normally suppressed, but she says we have really to cancel it from the beginning in order to be. Okay, so good question. So, sorry, I can't answer it. Okay.
Maybe this is related to the fact that this thread looks like domain long.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange to not back react domain long.
Yeah.
What happens when you cross the domain long, some flexes have to share stuff. Looks very different on the other side.
Yeah, but I think I don't lose anything on my feature set. So I think what happens is basically. That all what I say on the B-series side is not correct, because I just have to look at, say, I shouldn't look at my quench approximation, because I have to take into account the flavor loops and so on. But as you said, at least on the type 2A setup, or say the F-theory setup, I should be careful, but nevertheless, it's unsolved what an N9 brain is F-theory, so.
But
I have to admit, the question is really good.
What geometry would you write down that preserves that much supersymmetry with this game? It's been hard to find such a thing.
Yeah, it's hard. So, but I think there was a few papers beginning of that year about massive and theory and domain walls and so on. Sorry, massive to saturate. But you're right, so in principle, if you're not in the proper approximation, then we also have to take into account the back reacting, then this is difficult, so it's unsolved for the M theory case, it's probably difficult for the type 2A case, and probably in order to cancel this color anomaly, we should take this into account. But let us see this as a first step towards, because at least in M theory is difficult, so let us skip that part. So what you do is now, at least, so we go to the 1K5 frame, so we find this KD5 frame to NS5 frame, generate the Sumit series, and see that the supersymmetry is broken to NS3, but the flavor action is unchanged. And then we do the same steps like before, type 2A configuration, so 2 and T-dollar dialogue with sex, take the M-series configuration, so take the NS3A frame and look at the whatever it is, the M9 frame, and we see that the at least on the feed theory side, if you do this, so basically your actions unchanged for the receiver AVGN and what we propose.
then what you have to do is, this is now the critical part, because this zoom, so on the gravity side, you can zoom into this D4 mod CK. So then you have, for NP, much, much larger than K to the 50, you have this N9 brain, whatever it is, grabbing them, it is 3 × 7 mod CK. So grabbing the complete space here, and grabbing S7 mod CK. And for NP, much, much smaller than K to the 50, you have NP8 brain, grabbing 83 × 83. And so what you see is on the gravity side that it preserves six real supersymmetries as well as this one baryon. The total R symmetry group. R symmetry group is not broken down. And on the field theory side, what you do is you determine your effective theory, which is valid as K is much, much smaller than G and mu squared times K. At least, yeah. Probably this is too fast. At least the U1 is preserved. Is this the U1 variant?
Well, still have maybe it's hard to tell on the first
one. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I will come back to it. But what you see is basically because you wrap your
transfer complete.
So, is there any sense in which when you add this defect to the 2+1 theory that you renormalize the levels or not?
You don't renormalize it.
You don't. Okay, so then maybe you still have this.
Yeah, I guess you have it, but.
So it's difficult to see. You really have to see that you. So this is basically that side here, is to take this low energy effective action and write down every consistent term what you can have with your theory, with your symmetries. This is SO3R symmetry and 0.3 supersymmetry, as well as, of course, 1D, 1 plus 1 dimensional Lorentz and gauge invariance and so on. Then you see that you have no such terms. So basically your effect action is unchanged. You have
jumps the level somehow across this. I was talking about field theory. You have this domain model that lives in 1 plus 1 dimensions.
I think such
effects you can only see if you really take back the action into account.
Taking loops into account.
Yeah, no. So if you take this core construct loops into account, then you see basically your
representation of the ocean.
So this is basically the second part, as I said, how you know, and so on. So, and if you integrate out phi 1 and phi 2, which is trivial, then you get just the following action, just the ABGM action plus the defect action, so this is just psi bigger, I d minus minus I minus psi. So just write it down for one gauge rule.
And of course, you have to integrate your energy, take your heat integration.
Is related to rotating 10 direction extend in N theory, but what is it in factor A? What does it do in this ADS 4+CP3? In this gravity side.
Yeah, basically.
You say I can go to factor A and have ADS 4+CP3 and they have this DA effect. What does one variant do?
So basically, if you reduce, if you reduce from S7 mod CK to type 2A, what you get is first you have non-diagonal metrics, and you get also gauge field to reduce that.
I'm asking about the isometry. You told me there is U1B isometry in factor A setup. Is there or not?
Yeah.
So what does it do?
It's as I said, so if you reduce from M theory along the circle, which shrinks, then you get also gauge fields. This precisely is one. This is, as always, if you reduce from M theory to type 2A, then you get this.
So this U1 variant is just what in type 2A is a shift of axion? Because when you shrink 11 circles, don't you get an axion?
No, so
basically. I'm a little bit confused, but I just wanted to understand.
So in M theory, what you have is I can show it to you later. So you have an angle d phi, and your metric basically looks like d phi plus a, where a is in one form squared. And now if you reduce it to calculate, so this a will get a new gauge. New one gauge. But I can show
but
it to you.
But this is precisely how from KK reduction you get C naught in factor 8. From NCA, when you reduce on 11 cycles, you get axion scaling factor in this way.
You get a gauge.
So you are saying this Hilbert is just gauge symmetry of CC?
Well, just because of the time, if we could have questions later.
Oh, okay, no one is interested in this.
This time.
Okay. So, we also generalized it to other. P or the other flavor intersections, so basically we learned also three-brain type 2B, so which is in the four-brain in type 11, or this M5-brain in M3. This would be interesting to look at, so it's encoded on actually one intersection which is non-chiral and preserves NCP 3.3, so the symmetry.
However, I also have to admit that last step, so taking that IR limit, is really, really complicated, and this is because there are no non-renormalization theorems at least for defects theory, which I know. Probably there are one, but I don't know these non-renormalization theorems, and so it's difficult to work out the field theory. However, we have a gap into our paper, and the same also applies for this GC brain here in chapter B, so which is codimension 2 and NCP 4 flavor field. So this is the other two we studied in that paper here, so if you're interested in. And furthermore, we also studied this SU4R equivalent section. So we studied different DP brains in type 2B, which became, as I said before, the same object in M theory. So I took these two cases here. And we really worked out what happens if you, that you get the same dual filter. So what happens in this infrared flow? And this is quite surprising for us. Was quite surprising for us. And there are many more SU4 equivalent theories in the table I showed you. So conclusion and further direction. So the conclusion is that at least so in this talk I have shown you the NCP3 theory with codimension 0 flavor as well as the NCP0.6 codimension 1 flavor. And so you take NC much, much larger than K to the fifth, you get for this N0.6 codimension 1 flavor this N9 brain. As well as if you take NC much, much less than K to the fifth, you get this D8 brain, letting this ATS 3 times DP3. And also, I've shown you this one, this is well known before, by Onego and also by Kyoto Chaffers and by Tatianakin et al. So, let me say what our future directions are. So, first, we want to study more examples, and we want to have a complete classification, at least starting from this type 2B. Brain setup from this type 2B picture, and then do what we have to do, like introduce a mass and complete mass spectra, as well as study the thermodynamics and hydrodynamics of that system. Okay, good. Thank you very much.
So, let's come for one more quick question.
What would you hope to learn by completing the Meson spectra in a plus one dimensional field?
Okay, this is at least what you can learn is so you can compare, say, the meson spectra, so the how they behave, how the masses are generated, say, in different dimensions. So in 3+1 dimensions, we know what happens. We also know what happens if you look at kind of codimension 1 and 2 flavor degrees of freedom in 3+1 dimensions. But it would be also interesting to get the dynamics, so the infrared dynamics of those mesons in 2+1 dimensions. So. But I think, yeah, you cannot really apply to Rigg physics, that's true, but probably you can think of it as kind of bound states in say condensed matter systems, or just apply to condensed matter and see how you can interpret this mass. As I said, it's not really, you shouldn't call it a mass, and you should just call it an Cajun branch object.
Okay, so just before we thank Martin again, hopefully he'll be coming to join us for lunch, so there'll be time for more questions there. But also to remind you that there's going to be another talk this afternoon at 2 by Daniel Jafaris. presumably continuing in much the same theme. Look forward to that. Okay, thanks to Martin here.